It's Monday, July 17th, and this is episode 147 of The Avengers.
In the vast Disney podcast universe, where opinions and conjecture abound, four podcasts unite to entertain, enlighten, and let you, the listener, decide. When they're not saving the Queen, from England, it's the Disney Dream Girls. To the West, among an elite group of fanatics of Disneyland, they are the Diz Geek Podcast. From the North, three men who steady the scales of justice when talking Disney, the Mighty Men of Mouse. And bringing their happy and grumpy superpowers from the Mid-Atlantic, the WDW Happy Place Podcast. United, when assembled, they are the Earvengers.
Hi, everybody. I'm Russ from the Mighty Men of Mouse. I'm joined this week from the Diz Geeks by Tommy. How you doing, Tommy?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Excellent, excellent. And from the Disney Dream Girls, Michelle, welcome aboard. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Russ. Nice to be on the show as always.
How long until your trip, Michelle? Is that August?
It's not long. It's a month. I'm so excited. I can't wait. It's just a shame that you mighty men aren't going to be there, because otherwise all the Avengers will be there.
And, oh, I didn't know that. So Sam and Ashley from WDW Happy Place, you're going to be down there too?
Yeah, it was a last-minute decision. So if you want a last-minute down there with us, it would be amazing, Russ.
Yeah, because I would prefer someone else to sweat along with me, because it's going to be hot and sticky.
All right, well, we've got a jam-packed show this week, emptying out the leftovers from the fridge. I stole that analogy from Sam because it was good, and I just steal any good idea that I hear. So with that, I think Ashley is going to bring us our first topic.
All right, in an attempt to sound like I got this together, here we go. So thank you, Michelle, for sending over. This was Kenny the Pirate from his website, kennythepirate.com, shared this this week. It's guests offered Disney gift cards in exchange for not having their rooms cleaned. Well, if that doesn't get your attention, I don't know what will. So here's what it says. It says, many crew members on my Facebook group reported yesterday that they were offered Disney gift cards in exchange for not having their rooms cleaned. As the guests were checking into All-Star Movies Resort, they were told that they could receive a $20 per day Disney gift card in exchange for denying room cleaning services for their entire stay. One person stated that they received an $80 gift card for 4-night stay, and another said they received $140 for a 7-night stay. Each guest reported that they could receive towel service and request toiletries as needed, but their sheets would not be changed and there would be no vacuum or cleaning of any kind offered. If you accept this offer, Mousekeeping will not provide those cute little towel creatures on your bed each evening. This is said to be a test, and no word if it will spread to other resorts or when it will end. Kenny the Pirate goes on to say, I will state that I noticed that this was a very normal policy for hotels in Denmark when we recently visited. They say it saves on water, power, and wear and tear on the sheets. And of course, he poses the question that we as Earvengers are posing to each other and to you, the audience. Would you accept $20 per night for not having your room cleaned during your trip? Thanks to Kenny the Pirate for posting that. Who should I jump to in this amazing world of the Earvengers?
Jump to Michelle, because she's about to go to Disney World in a little over a month.
Yes, Michelle, your thoughts when you read this?
Eek.
Eek.
Bear in mind, us from the UK tend to come for 2 to 3 weeks at a time to Walt Disney World. I wouldn't want to go to such an extreme of going without my cleaning routine being done. But on the other hand, it would save me a nice little chunk of money if I just sort of said over the 14 days, I went without, say, 2 days here, 2 days there, got a nice little Disney gift card. Initially, I thought, what a fantastic idea. And then I started worrying. Now, normally in my room, I don't have delivered in pizza or delivered in food because it's normally just me or me and a friend. But I'm just thinking for a moment, what about families that do tend to have pizza delivered in or food in the room? cockroaches, God. Little beasties creeping around because they're trying to save a bit of money, not having their room clean for 3-4 days. That will attract vermin, especially in the heat of summer. Then I'm also thinking about the poor Disney cast members who might lose their job because Disney has said, hey, we don't need to employ all these mouse keepers anymore. Maybe they're having problems attracting mouse keepers. Maybe that's the issue, because I do recall recently seeing more Disney mouse keepers being accused of theft.
Mm.
So there's so many things that my listeners brought to my attention about this that I didn't initially think about. And I think whilst it initially struck me as a good idea, the ramifications and the bigger picture do make me worried, especially, you know, I know there's certain parts of the world that I wouldn't go to because of the bedbug issue. And I wouldn't want Walt Disney World to be part of it because of people cutting the costs on cleaning.
Can I jump in here? So I find it just a thought as you were saying all that, something came to mind, because it's a really, I think it's okay to think that, because we have walked past rooms where there's been, like you said, even I think it happened when we stayed at the Poly one time, like it was at the Poly. Remember the family, we were at the very end when I think we stayed in Tokelo and we had the really nice view of the Magic Kingdom and the castle.
You mean before the bungalows?
Before the bungalows.
Yep.
And we had people next to us who were really relaxing, quote unquote, with their urban pharmaceuticals.
They were using some natural herbal substances. Right.
And when every morning we walked out our door, I don't know if like mousekeeping forgot that we were down at that end of the building, but they had stacked trays of food on top of one another. And I'm thinking to myself, what did they do last? Like, did they go to an all-you-can-eat buffet and then just bring it
back? They got a lot of munchies. They had a lot of munchies.
I remember thinking, that's gross. It's going to attract all the little things I don't want attracted too close to my door. So I think you bring up a very interesting point that you got families who are, you know, coming back late from the parks, the kids are hungry, or they order a pizza. So if they're not going to put those boxes outside of their value resort, poor mousekeeping, who's in charge of cleaning that room at the end of a 4-night, 7-night stay, is going to open up, and God only knows what they're going to find. So then you're told, this poor mousekeeping, you've got 45 minutes to clean every bit of this and vacuum it and make it look like nobody's been here for the past 7 days, but you don't know what you're walking into. So I think that's like, ugh.
I mean, to coin a term that the Mighty Men of Mouse use, it's going to be like a bunch of lax bros, a bunch of jamokes have been staying in some of these rooms.
I just don't, I'm torn, because I don't want to see people not be able to, you know, have employment, because I mean, having a job is a really important thing these days. But you know, we would even say that our last, when we were there, what month are we in right now? We were there in May.
Yeah, we're in
July. And we were there in May. So when Aunt Sam and I leave a note for mousekeeping, we handwrite a note. We typically leave, $3 and say, can we have some extra towels?
Depends
on where we're staying.
Depends on where we're staying, yeah.
So,
but we leave a tip.
$3 to $5 tip and say, hey, thanks so much. Would you mind leaving extra towels? And we've never had a problem with people leaving. I mean, and usually they leave piles of towels where you don't have to request it again, or extra soap. And this last day, I don't know if what the deal was, but they, you know, definitely took the tip, but there were no extra towels. And it was like, and we did it. I said, well, maybe she just forgot, or he forgot, whoever did it. So I said, let's just leave another note and say, hey, can we get some more towels? Second time, still no towels.
But the tip got taken.
Right. So that was a little frustrating. So in a situation like that, where Sam had to go up to get towels anyway, if somebody said, well, look, we're not going to leave, if it means us not, you know, maybe leaving a tip instead, and we just get to take that money and turn it into gift cards, it's just you and me. It's not if we don't have a full family with us. Maybe we do consider taking advantage of something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But now, to Michelle's point, if you were staying 14 days, that would be really tough to give up all for all that time. No, you know, mousekeeping of all. But what I would be curious is it an all or nothing scenario? My guess is I don't think Disney's going to be able to say, oh, well, yeah, you can get a Mousekeeper in on this day and this day and this day. Well, maybe they can. I don't know. But to me, it seems like Disney's going to say, hey, you've got a 14-day stay. 7 of the days, you know, the first 7, do you want a Mousekeeper?
Right.
Second set. But, you know, there's. I don't know that they'll be able to do it like pick, you know, you get 3 days on, one on, you well, know, or two three things, off, one on. Type
something else just occurred to me. DVC, you don't pay to have somebody come in every day.
You have to pay for it.
You have to pay for
you
it.
You have to, yeah.
Right.
That's because I'm going DVC this year again, and I did it last year, and you don't get Mousekeeping every day.
So did you end up paying for it for a couple of days to get it? Like your, because I love coming back to a made bed. I'm not going to lie. Like, my bed being made is a big deal.
I think it's the first 4 days with nothing, and then they do something. But because I had different people sharing the room with me, I did pay for a full room service, I think, twice.
Okay.
Just to make sure that all the linen was changed. But there was no problem about getting extra toiletries, or that you just had to pay for it. And that's, I suppose, something I factored in mm-hmm. when I was trying to get the best deal for my Disney vacation. It didn't bother me for like 3-4 days not having anyone in, because sometimes I don't like people coming in my room.
Sure. Russ, you have a family. You guys travel down there. What do you, I mean, when you get down there, do you want to know it's getting taken care of when you come back from the room or from the parks?
Yeah, I do like it. And so probably, I don't know if they still do it, but Starwood and I believe the Swan and Dolphin for a time offered only $5 a day to forgo housekeeping to come into the room. I think that was more flexible in the sense that you could do one day on, one day off, leave a note, etc. But again, the price to do it was very low, to the point where you're like, don't know if it's worth it. I'd rather have a clean room and a made bed, mm-hmm. like you said, Ashley. But $20, so I mean, compared to what I've seen at other places whenever this is tried, is very generous.
Mm-hmm.
So my guess is, like Sam was alluding to, is for the length of your stay, right? And you have to call down for extra towels and toiletries, or pick them up on your way, and so they're not going to enter the room. What I think would be a nice compromise, though, is let's say instead of $20, it was closer to $10, right? And for a week-long stay, you got three things. They come into the room, they change out the towels, right? They put new toiletries, and they clean out the trash. And that kind of would get rid of the problem that Michelle stated, which is very real, right? If they're just not entering the room because you've checked this box, that could lead to problems and all sorts of things. And, you know, people will probably treat the room poorly mm-hmm. because they're getting, you know, $200 out of it, let's say, for a 10-day stay. And, you know, probably cost Disney more in the end, you know, like overflowing trash cans, things spilling, like not cleaning things right away, you know, like all these things. And, you know, so it's actually pretty risky because $20 is a lot, and I could see people jumping on that. I mean, that adds up quickly, but I don't think it's something that we're going to see permanently. And like I said, it was more of a trial basis now because I think there's some unintended consequences that could come around from it that I don't know would actually please Disney in the end. Despite the savings. Like, all the savings you said are true.
Right.
It's more energy efficient, all of that. But I think there are some costs on the back end that might kind of give Disney pause.
I do find it interesting, and I don't know if we'll get to experience this when we stay at Pop in a couple of weeks. But I find it interesting that Pop has refurbished all their rooms. And if we get to stay in one of the refurbished rooms, the new refurbished rooms don't have carpet. They've got that laminate wood. So to the cost factor, you know, going back to, you get a, because let's face it, that, you know, we all have a different level of cleanliness when it comes to, like, some people like to spread out. Like, I like to try to keep things, like, cleaned and straightened, and I'm very neat. Like, I'm actually the woman who's putting towels, I stack my towels before housekeeping or Mousekeeping comes in, because I don't leave them all over the place. I put them all in a pile neatly in the bathtub in the corner, so that she only has to go to one spot with a bag and put everything in there, because I just, that's how I am. There are plenty of other people who don't do that. So, you know, like you said, wear and tear on the back end as far as cost. It's going to be very interesting to see what that does.
You know, really quick, I'm wondering, is this a trial or a test to potentially make all resorts just like DVC? Oh, do you want Mousekeeping? Well, there's two levels, and there's going to be a towel service that's going to be X amount of dollars, and then there's the full service that's going to be X dollars that you'll add on to your stay.
Interesting.
We're not going to give you any money back, but we're going to add on to your actual cost.
Interesting point. Tommy, you guys, let me just kind of, I'm going to insert this in here real quick. I know that they just celebrated that guy's 2000th, like, consecutive visit to Disneyland and the media. And I was like, I kind of laughed because I was like, they haven't met Tommy and Lena Allison because they've been there every Saturday since, like, I don't know, birth.
But
so,
I think this guy was like 2,000 straight days.
Doesn't matter. I mean, congratulations to him. Good for him.
But he clearly has to be retired.
Regardless of the reason.
He has a job.
Whatever the reason. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Bringing it back in, just saying, because the Allisons have gone to Disneyland every weekend. You can give us the numbers, Tommy. But you guys don't stay at those hotels particularly by the Disneyland because you drive there every week. But when you come to Disney World in the next couple weeks, what are your expectations? Like, what do you guys want?
When we come to Disney World, it's usually with our family. Now, this will be the first time that my wife and I are coming just the two of us.
Woohoo!
Which is awesome, you know. So I will not have my boys or their fiancés or girlfriends with them this time. So this will be an I'm definitely looking forward to it. But we always use, we always have had rooms with mousekeeping every day, and I've always had very good service with mousekeeping. Mm-hmm. Our last time that we stayed at Walt Disney World, we were at the Art of Animation. We had one of the Lion King suites, and I thought the suite was amazing. It was good size for the six of us. We had our own light. My wife and I, we had our own private room. We could lock the door. It was nice, and a nice big bathroom, and I just thought it was very good, very nice layout of a building and experience. Now, if they had offered me $20 per day for not showing up, and so that they could, that would, for the six of us, that would be a disaster. It would have been a disaster. I mean, I asked them for some towels. I actually have a picture of it. They actually gave me a bag of towels.
Nice.
For our room. I mean, it stayed in our room for the week that we were there. I don't even think we went through half the towels. But I mean, we needed it. We needed, because I mean, my sons and girlfriends were they're adults. It needed attention. Let me just tell you, the room needed attention. Myself, I do enjoy having my room refreshed every time. I mean, wherever I travel, whether it be at Disney or on a cruise ship or anywhere. So I'm used to that type of service and experience. And I mean, even at home, I like to wash my sheets at least two or three times a week. If I had more time, I'd probably do it every day. If you ask me, it's a nice thing to have it clean and experience. I think it makes my vacation a lot nicer. And then on top of that, you're out in the sun and the heat and the sweat and everything else, and you don't want to come back to a bed or room that hasn't been kept. I mean, it's not a good scene.
No, I'm right there with you.
It's just not a good scene, especially in August. I know it's going to be like we're going to be on the outskirts of hell, but it's going to be fun because I'm going to be there with you guys and everything like that. But I need to have a place, a sanctuary, even though it's pop, I know it's a place where I can go. It's clean and I can relax and not worry about it. And when I go back,
at 2 a.m. after we've left Animal Kingdom and we're a hot, sweaty messes, you wouldn't be able to go back to a clean room. I get that.
Exactly. Just, love it. So. There you go. And well, I'm getting my how many times I've been to Walt Disneyland's number.
Yes, 40. You should totally give that to us. While you're doing the numbers, I think we can wrap this particular topic by saying that I know that if we go down there and they offer it to us, we're down there from the 28th, was it four nights. So if they offered it to us, and I can see Sam's wheels already turning like, ooh, just maybe this once we can consider it. But it would be interesting to see how long, if this gets continued to be, if it spreads to other resorts on the property, and if they continue to do this and take this approach to see how people take advantage of it. So, all right, well, that's going to end it for that topic. Now, Sam, you're going to bring up quickly, we're going to do a real quick conversation about the big changes that happened on the young Han Solo movie recently in the past week and a half. So do you have that article pulled up?
You mean the fact that they had to fire both of the directors that were currently working on the project, and they've hired an acting coach for the star who is playing young Han Solo.
Right.
And I'm going to probably mispronounce the last name just because, like, you know, it's one of those things where that's what I do. I butcher names. It's just, I'm good for that. That's the, you know, that's what I do, right?
All right. Well, while you're pulling up that article, let me say this. So this movie is very anticipated. So we've got a couple of movies that are coming off of the Star Wars thing that are kind of prequels that are, you know, now with Han Solo, is we're kind of getting a glimpse into his early life before the very first Star Wars movies. So we know that 2,500 people, 2,500 men auditioned for this role. So this person who you're trying to pronounce their name and find their name, they won this role. And it was a really big deal. So about a week and a half ago, the announcement came out that they let go the two directors that they currently, and they're, I don't know anything about movie shoots and all of that, but apparently there was all the principal photography. What are you doing?
It's every other site's playing stuff automatically. Go for it.
You can turn that feature off in settings. Yes, were you aware of this?
Thanks for that update.
Okay. Sorry, guys. We'll go back and redo that. Count me in.
3, 2, and 1.
So, the movie, as you're pulling up this gentleman's name, 2,500 people auditioned for the role. He gets it. We've got principal photography done, according to what people are saying on the internet. I don't even know what that means. I don't know, it's a big deal. And we now have a new director. They brought in Ron Howard, which I saw people elated. I saw people not elated about that. And then we are finding out that they're now having to bring in an acting coach because they're not happy with what they're seeing performance-wise from this guy. So that leads me to just say this about the Star Wars movies. And Russ, I would love to get your take on this. I feel like when it came to Rogue One, I was very disappointed in Rogue One. I had people who were like, oh my gosh, it was better than any of the Star Wars movies. It was amazing. And I did not feel that way at all. I have a coworker who brought up a very interesting point, who is when I say Star Wars nerd, like, I can't even explain to you how much he loathes J.J. Abrams. But he said, you know, they would have been better off taking Rogue One and now this Han Solo movie and turning those into Netflix movies, because that's the quality we're getting. And this leaving that, giving another artery and vein to Netflix of, they've got Marvel over here, and now they'd have a Star Wars arm, and then let them do it. So Russ, as a Star Wars fan, are you concerned about this whole Han Solo movie? Do you not care? If you do care, how do you feel about Ron Howard directing it now?
Unfortunately, you got the wrong guy from Mighty Men of Mouse. My fandom is pretty limited. I will say that anything on the extremes on Rogue One is probably not accurate. I recently, I think as I mentioned in our last episode, rewatched Empire Strikes Back. I've seen all of the movies at least once. I'd say it's not as good as The Force Awakens. It's not as good as Empire Strikes Back, but it's certainly not worse than some of the prequels, if my recollection serves me right. I don't know. I think that's a pretty harsh criticism for Rogue One, that it's only, you know, straight to Netflix worthy. And I didn't think the quality was that bad. I enjoyed it. I wouldn't say it's, you know, at the top. So for the the Han Solo kind of prequel. I've never necessarily paid a lot of attention to some of the Hollywood like inner workings and movie, you know, director changes and actor issues. I guess that goes to the fact that it's just all about the end product for me. Certainly this could give signals that it's not going to be good, or they could be saving it. We don't know. They probably don't even know. But these things to me probably seem more commonplace. I think it's getting more attention because it's now in our orbit of things that we talk about and do. I didn't get the impression that it was necessarily something that was so rare in Hollywood that it really should be a warning sign one way or the other. So my reaction was almost zero to it happening. I was surprised they got, you know, a director that I've heard of before and that's well known, I guess, you know, on short notice like that, which makes you kind of believe that this might have been in the works for a while, right? To get it lined up. But I guess that's the only thing is, so I said, well, Ron Howard, like, you know, he was available, and that was very quick, you know, between the firing and the hiring. So this was obviously something that has been coming down for a while. That's the only thing I really concluded.
Gotcha. Michelle, I know you have to be forced into watching these movies because they're your absolute favorite. Any thoughts on, because I'm sure you probably saw it, and there are people who are like genuinely upset on the interwebs. So I was just curious if you had any thoughts.
No. yeah, directors, blah, blah, actors, blah, blah. Yeah, I'm not interested. It's not something that catches my attention. It's more of a Jane thing. I'm going down the route now at my old age of going to a cinema for a nap. I've not yet in the last 3 years been able to sit through a movie in a movie theatre the whole way through without having to be nudged because I've nodded off. So I tend to kind of wait till they turn up on Netflix or okay. I can buy the DVD. So by that point, everybody's bored of talking about them anyway. So I just don't bother. I switch off. But if you want Star Wars, you need Jane. She's the top dude.
I would love to have Jane's point of view on this one. Tommy, you live out in Hollyweird. Any thoughts?
Okay, principal photography means that they've shot with the cameras rolling with the actors on set. Okay. What it means.
Thanks for educating me. Appreciate it.
Sure, no problem. My thoughts. This happens from time to time. What I understand is that the directors were they were selected because I believe that they had success with 21 Jump Street, a couple of comedy films. I think that they were shooting for a more of a very loose comedic angle with the movie. And I think, it was pretty much, you know, I think the way you shoot comedy, these directors is, comedy films usually have a very small budget if you compare it to Star Wars, you know. And so they usually do maybe two or three shots, you know, of a scene and move on, you know, to the next thing. And Star Wars, I understand that, you know, per scene, I mean, they usually shoot between 14 to 20 shots a scene. And so they're getting the dailies. Kathleen Kennedy's getting the dailies, and she's seeing only three or four shots a scene, and she's thinking, I want something more to work with, you know? We need more, you know? And I think that was an issue at hand. And then also just how they weren't following the script. You know, they were playing loosey-goosey with the script. So,
interesting.
I feel like, you know, Kathleen Kennedy is somebody that should be recognized for her work and her leadership, and I don't think that the directors were You know, they thought they had some liberty to do what they wanted to do. You know, they thought they, oh, this is our time to put our mark, our distinction on Star Wars, you know, put our thumbprint on Star Wars canon. And no, there's certain doctrines and, you know, things that should be done and not done and things like that. And I think, I think that she, you know, she has a responsibility, and I think she made the right move, you know, to protect the, to protect the franchise, and to, so I think that this was, a good move. You know, Ron Howard, is a very accomplished director, and he's done some amazing work. I'm looking forward to it. His take with it. I'm sure that they're going to be using some of their scenes that they've already, you know, shot. I think a lot of the movie's going to be reshot, and that's fine. You know, this it happens in Hollywood. You know, changes in directors happen all the time on set, on movies and things like that. It's amazing that movies even get done, to be honest with you. If you've ever seen just all the mechanics and all the different things that it takes to make a movie, it's just insane. You know, just to walk on a set. I mean, my son used to do commercials, and it would take them to do a 30-second commercial. You could actually work on a 30-second commercial for 3 or 4 days.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's just so much goes on behind the scenes to make that 30 seconds happen. And then, you know, when you're in the commercial, I mean, you know, you probably get like 3 seconds, 5 seconds of screen time. You know, wow. Of the actor.
Yeah.
It's a huge mechanism, and you know, it's like opening up a Rolex. I kind of like talk about when you want to know what goes on behind the scenes of a movie. It's like opening up a Rolex watch and look at the way how it just works. It's just amazing that it just all these things, all these little gears and mechanisms all have a purpose to make it work. And you know, so it's just it's pretty amazing that movies do get done and made. And, you know,
I think people, as long as Wilford Brimley doesn't make an appearance, you know, from Cocoon, you know. Anyway. If you'd like to see me your thoughts, that's a wrap of this conversation.
Yeah, real quick thoughts were, to Tommy's point, Lord and Miller, the premise was that Phil Lord and Chris Miller were in where normally there's 14 to 20 cameras shooting a single scene, so then they can find the one that works. They were doing like 3 cameras. And they weren't following the script that Lawrence Kasdan had written.
Yeah,
and they were way straying off the topic. Now this, though, my bigger thing is, you made the wrong choice to begin with, obviously, Kathleen. You hired the wrong guys. And now you've got Alden Ehrenreich, that's the actor. You're bringing in an acting coach at this point, then scrap him and just reshoot the whole thing.
Well, that happens, though.
Here's the problem. To your point about, you said Johnny Depp, you know, when we were, you know, back 2 weeks ago when we did the show, you said Johnny Depp could be replaced in Captain Jack. No, this is the same way Han Solo is so connected to Harrison Ford and how he was portrayed, and now you've got to make someone portray this younger version of him. And the problem they're running into is, they said, one of the reports I saw was that Alden Ehrenreich's performance was almost like Ace Ventura.
Oh dear God.
As Han Solo. That's how bad it was.
That's the director's fault.
Not their fault, but that's part of the problem. And, you know, my big thought was, when Ron Howard, you at least you know you're going to get a certain thing. I'm looking for Tom Hanks to pop up at some point, being, you know, an uncle or a dad to Han Solo, because that's who Tom Hanks is. He's always in a Ron Howard production.
I'm Wilford Brimley.
So,
diabetes.
But I really think they really have got to start doing a little bit more, because Rogue One, they had an issue also with director, you know, so it's like,
right, but that's gonna go back to Kathleen Kennedy. That's all reflects her. So, interesting times again to be a Disney fan, and especially with these movies. So, I think with those thoughts, Sam, we can wrap this topic up, because Michelle brings us our final topic of the week.
Okay, so I was reading again, I do a bit of reading, about what's happening to the Hall of Presidents, because it was due to open. Alas, the sign is still outside saying the attraction is being prepared to welcome our new president. By the time Disney get this sorted, it'll have been impeached and thrown out. So I don't know why the rush is. Anyway, it gather that Donald Trump now is going to have a speaking role, and the delay has been cited to technical problems. Now, being a Brit, I just had a different idea. Why don't you have Hall of Prime Ministers? Because I'm sure our Theresa will be a lot quicker at getting her little bit of vocab done than your Donald would be. Just an idea. And then you can have the whole sort of reenactment of the Brexit between the UK and the US, all sorted accurately from history. People learn a lesson about their country. Awesomeness. And it's just the British that end up feeling a little bit upset. And who cares about us?
Tell us how you really feel, Michelle.
No, that's how I feel. I'm fine. You know. It's okay. I'm just having sleepless nights about whether I'm going to get my Esther through, because I might not have got a big enough social media presence for Donald to let me in the country. It's fine. My partner's actually opening a Facebook account, right? He's not had one all these years just because Donald mentioned if you don't have a social media presence, you might not be allowed in. So he's now opening up a fake Facebook account just so that he can have a social media presence so that we can come on holiday. It's ridiculous.
All of this is just, again, conversations never. I think what's interesting about this whole situation is that, and I'm going to refer back to Jim Hill's conversation, or Jim Hill did a really good job writing a blog. We posted it in our on our Facebook page, and he basically said, "Look, folks, there's no drama here. Move along." Now, there were people who said, "Look, if there's no drama, I feel like this is like the Wizard of Oz. Nothing to see here, folks. Move along behind the curtain." But you know, I think a fair question that still came out after reading Jim Hill's very clear, very concise, you know, look, these are the people I've talked to. And he did something interesting. Jim Hill used the story that had come out a week before. Did y'all see the quote unquote official story that was coming out about how Andy from Toy Story, how his father apparently had the story behind the father and the father not being there? Did y'all hear and see all that stuff floating around the internet?
Yeah.
So for those who didn't hear or see, there was a story that had gotten out that had pretty much been passed off as official from like Andrew Stanton and those guys are at Pixar, that it was the official story about how Andy's father, the reason why he was no longer in the picture is because he died from polio. And Andrew Stanton had to come out and say, okay, that is not at all how that story goes. Like, that's not even remotely close to being true. But it had picked up, it had literally spread like wildfire on the internet, because that's what things do. And he finally had to pop up and say, look, that's not the case. That's not what happened at all. That's not how we wrote the story. That's not true. So Jim Hill used that very example that happened the week before to kind of come down and say, look, we've got to douse the same things that are happening around the Hall of Presidents story with Trump and going in, not going in, his people not following through and getting the speech writing done and not talking to Disney, or they want to be the only speech writers or not letting the Imagineers. You know, there's all this conjecture out there and all this talk that this is what's happening and it's their camp against their camp. And Jim Hill came out and said, that's not the case. I have spoken with people who are in the know, who are saying that's just not the case at all, that they're dealing with other things and other difficulties. Now, to other people who quoted on our Facebook page who said, look, that's fine, you're saying that, but the speech, why isn't the speech at least done? If you're just having technical difficulties with the actual set and with the animatronic, then why isn't the speech done? And I think that's a fair question that Jim Hill does not address at all, because Jim Hill throws a blanket on it and says, there's nothing to see here, move along, everybody's getting along fine, they're just delayed. So all that being said, I'm going to take it at face value. Jim is a very reliable source within the unofficial Disney community and conversation. And I'm just going to have to let that, you know, let that lie where it is, which is he's right. I do find it intriguing, though, that we still don't have an answer as to why if this is all just technical difficulty with animatronics, then why isn't the speech done? Now, maybe somebody could say, well, the speech is done, but they don't have to tell you the speech is done. Okay, fine. But if it is done, then why not just say it's done?
Well, one of the reports also came out, though, that Disney has said as part of the update and the refurbishment, not only is, you know, getting his speech right, that they are completely redoing and enhancing the audio and the sound
and doing
brand new HD screens, which, let's be honest, Disney has always had a problem where their technology, at least from a digital projection and screen perspectives, have always been behind the times.
Right.
So this is very possible that when they went in there, they realized, oh, you know what, this stuff is, you know, 10 years old, and it was great at the time, but it's really nowhere what it could be and should be, and we do need to fix that as well. Maybe we didn't realize it was in the state it was in, and if we're going to be doing all this anyway, let's just do all of this, and then, you know, let people think whatever they want.
I don't know how anybody else feels on the show about this. I'm just going to put this out there, because I am going to be sincerely concerned until the day this opens, that we're not going to... Does anybody else have concerns on the show that there's going to be issues that once he does start speaking, that there's not going to be issues with people getting upset, walking out, like people who don't want to hear it versus people who are like, hey, shut up. He's, you know, it's free speech. Is anybody concerned that we're going to have incidents in the Hall of Presidents? Russ, am I just being silly?
No, you're not being silly, but I doubt it. There are certainly people who have stated that they will not go into the attraction as long as he's there. Look, I mean, it only takes one, right, to ruin the performance, right? And there were plenty of people on both sides before Trump that disliked the president that was in there that had a speaking role, right? And my experience has been it's never been ruined. I've been many times, you know, in the past two presidents. I don't know if you've ever been in them, and you know there's someone in that theater, right, who disagrees with the current president politically, and they've managed to, you know, show whatever, some sort of just kind of respect for the fact that they're in a theater, right, or a movie mm-hmm. theater, and, you know, and if they want to avoid, they just don't go in. So, yeah, I don't see that being an issue necessarily. Just because, you know, it's the ultimate in you have the option not to go in if you really feel that strongly.
Tommy, I'm kind of jealous that you guys just only have to deal with Lincoln. Like, there is no controversy. You guys have Lincoln, and that's all we're going to do. That's awesome, because he's perfect for that. So what are your thoughts on this whole thing with Hall of Presidents and the controversy, no controversy, and all that stuff?
I'm pretty laissez-faire about the whole thing. To be honest with you, I understand why people have been so, last couple of elections, it's just people have been just so divided and just so vocal and just so, people have, you know, cut off friendships, and they've cut off, you know, relationships with their family and because of politics. And I just, you know, to me, I'm pretty disgusted by that whole, you know, if you're not with me, you're against me, and you're a hater, you're a racist, you're this, you're that. And, you know, I respect, and I understand that people have different viewpoints and everything like that. And I'm glad that we can have this ability and this freedom to do this. And I just, you know, I don't agree 100% with anybody, not even my wife. There's things that we don't agree on. I mean, you know, this is not the platform or the area to talk about that, but, you know,
but you still love each other at the end of the day.
We still love each other. You know, there's civil discourse, you know, and everything like that. I mean, there's just I just don't understand I just don't understand why people are, you know, even with, you know, when we had Barack Obama in there, it's just so many people, you know, that just said so many mean things about him. And it was just disheartening, you know? And,
yeah, absolutely.
And you know, so it was just, if it offends you, don't go, you know, just like if Pirates of the Caribbean offends you, don't go, you know, just if Haunted Mansions offend you, don't go, just don't go. That's fine. I don't have a problem. There's no need to make a scene.
Yeah.
There's no need to make a scene. Just go on with your life. If your life is all about some Disney attraction, and it's gonna make, and you're gonna give mental space to it, you know, and you're gonna work yourself up emotionally and bring your blood pressure up, you know, and have, you know, and get other people riled up and get their blood pressure up. I mean, wow, what for? What for? Right. And this is supposed to be, you know, I mean, this is part of your vacation. I mean, this is part of your, you know, just to walk away. I mean, you don't have to do everything. Not everyone rides roller coasters.
Right.
Not
everyone. Don't go in there. But it is the perfect spot to take a quick nap and to cool off from a hot summer
sun
of August.
I mean, I've done that too.
Okay,
yeah.
Who's talking?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Me. Yeah, exactly. So
I hope that. I really hope that, because Jim Hill, his blog really caught a lot of people's attention, and Huffington Post even put it out. And so I just hope going forward, and Sam, you can bring in, or Michelle, you can bring in the last word on this one, but I'm ready to, there's been a lot of, like, as you said, Tommy, a lot of discourse, and I've seen a lot of friendships and relationships within the Disney community ruined because of the politics of everything and not being able to separate it all. So my hope is that once this thing finally opens, and we don't have an official date yet, right? It's all wide open right now, end of summer.
Well, Bob Iger said, at least in one of the articles I just pulled up, said something about possibly by Trump's first anniversary, which makes me think that this year, maybe a November timeframe, maybe. But that could change.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Michelle, do you have any other last thoughts on this?
No.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
I was just going to add one thing, you know, to what Tommy's point. Yes, and I was going to do a bad, you know, going right now. Does anybody know, is there a wall in front of the Hall of Presidents? Because I really want to build a wall right there in front of it. But no, here's my question. To Tommy's point, look, I don't agree with Trump on a lot of things. But I didn't agree with Barack Obama on anything. But I'd go in there and still do what Tommy said. It's one of the best air conditioners in all of Disney World.
It's true.
Go in there and take a nap for 23 minutes. Recharge your battery.
Sit in the back row.
Sit in the back. You know, but for goodness sakes, the idea of people are so just animated about this, no pun intended with animatronics, that they're like, I'm not going to go in there for four years or eight years. I'm just not going to. That is the most absurd thing I've ever heard.
It's not that absurd. Just that's their choice, right?
It's their choice, but the idea that you're going to let that dictate that you're going to go into an attraction to experience it once.
That's their choice. You may think it's absurd, but it's not so absurd to them.
No.
Right, no. All I'm saying is that, like, the bad thing would be if people are going in with the sole intention of ruining it for everyone who wants to go.
I know, that I agree. For that, if someone did that honestly right then, Russ, that person should be thrown out of the park immediately.
Escorted to the front, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, and I don't know what, quote, ruining it would be. Like, I mean, I've heard things where in previous presidents, like, people would just boo, right? I've never experienced that, but, like, I don't even know what someone would do. They would be doing something you shouldn't do in any attraction, regardless if that there were any political underleanings, that I think would get people upset and ruin the attraction anyway, right? I mean, like going on stage and messing with the animatronics. Like, that would get you thrown out no matter, you know, if you did it in Under the Sea with the Little Mermaid, right? I just don't see it happening that much. Maybe I'm naive and things are that divided where people will go in with the sole intention of ruining the experience. I guess I just don't see that, because the people who feel that strongly about it, and that's their right to feel that strongly about it, just won't go in. And they seem perfectly happy with that, and they will take, and people who feel really strongly about it will avoid Disney altogether. And there are people in that bucket too, as absurd as that might sound, right?
No, that one's, people that, said that like, one's, that's, yeah. that's even worse. But I,
well,
but
no, your, I don't disagree, but I mean, it's, you know, look, if they don't want to, if they don't want to support what they feel is, you know, a company that,
that's, yeah,
you
that's
know, for
their
whatever,
choice.
I, like, that's their
yeah,
choice.
They can
right?
take their dollars
and
elsewhere.
What are you gonna do?
But to your point, yeah, I think if somebody gets up and actually starts to, like, talk over, you know, not necessarily get on stage, but talk over and make a scene, say how horrible
yeah.
he is, that yeah. person also, get him out of the park.
Yeah, there should be nobody talking and or offering their editorial in the middle of the show. And that's
sure.
what I'm concerned about, that you're going to have that person that people are going to sit there and roll their eyes and ignore it because they don't want to create a scene when the person there is allowed to get away with that. And I don't want to see that happen. I didn't go in there and do that with other presidents. I want everything treated the same across the board. And that's what Disney's telling us they're doing. Everybody's getting treated the same way when they started this 20 years ago. So whatever,
yeah.
93.
So however long that was ago. Ancient. It's ancient.
24
yep.
years.
Fully acknowledge that things are different because the Disney hasn't had to come out and say that before. That
right.
you know, there was never any question that things are going to be like they always have been in the past. You know, so I get it. I get that it's not the same, but I think the solution is to not attend. Right? It's not to ruin it for everyone else to make a point. I guess I don't know.
I just think we live. I think things are much more volatile. While things have calmed down, seemingly, on both sides, I still see things as being volatile, and I still think that we're not going to go through, once it's opened up, we're not going to, in my opinion, there will not be a time in the next 4 years where there's some type of drama won't occur in that attraction because of this. I'm just saying. Drama in the sense
of... No, you're probably going to be right about that, and then I will be disappointed.
No,
right?
No doubt.
I mean, because,
no
yeah,
doubt.
So, yeah.
Anyway, Michelle, your last thoughts.
My last thoughts are, I think Disney should listen to us and our plea to open this attraction so that myself, Tommy, Sam and Ashley and Lena can all go and visit the attraction and see what we think about it. Having never been inside that attraction, I think it might be a bit of an eye-opener for me.
You've never been on the hall, in the hall? Well, I mean, I guess it makes
sense.
It's
not
like,
my president, is it? It's not
yeah,
my history.
It's like, to her
it
point,
opens,
there's no hall of prime ministers.
Yeah, and it opens up painful wounds that, you know, if you guys hadn't divorced yourself, I could quite happily come and live and be your neighbours and annoy you more often than instead of making you come down to Florida in August, which is hotter than Hades. But hey ho,
we will be there.
Anyway, before I get even more irate about this whole topic, let me pass over to the wonderful Russ.
Thanks, Michelle. This has been episode 147 of the Avengers. Again, I'm Russ from the Mighty Men of Mouse. We post our show each and every Thursday. You can find us at mightymenofmouse.com. Tommy, where can we find the Diz Geeks and the Cruise Dudes?
You can find the Diz Geek podcast at dizgeek.com and the Cruise Dudes at thecruisedudes.com. And you can help me celebrate my 575th visit to Disneyland today.
How many?
Very nice.
Since when?
Very nice.
Like, when did that start?
Since I started having an annual pass, so I think it was about 2006 or 2007. Yeah.
Wow. Sorry, Russ. Please continue.
No, that's okay. And the Disney Dream Girls, Michelle, where can we find you?
Anywhere and everywhere under Disney Dream Girls, except Twitter, where we couldn't get that handled because of character laws and whatever. So we are at Diz Dream Girls. Why not drop us a tweet and say hi?
And how about WDW Happy Place?
Yes, Russ, they can find us every Tuesday in all places that you can find a podcast. And every other Thursday, we started doing our Transformation Thursday shows again, especially with the Marathon 2018 training kicked off, because Ashley and I are both running a marathon, and that's where you can catch us. We're on Twitter and Facebook and everywhere you can find WDW Happy Place.
Excellent. And you can find our show, The Avengers, at EarAvengers.com. Follow the show on Twitter at The Avengers. We will assemble 2 weeks from today.
The views expressed by the other podcasts are their own and do not reflect anyone else affiliated with this show. The Avengers is not affiliated with Disney in any way. This has been a production of Gray Flannel Media.